Now then, I miss anything, honey? All right. So now, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and we finished that last week, and I have been talking about a sermon that I wanted to, that's been in me for quite a while. I've titled it, What's in a Name? What's in a Name? So I thought that would be easy to remember, because I remember someone saying somewhere, what's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Anyone know where that's from? Romeo and Juliet, that's right. Yeah, Shakespeare. I was about to say, I forgot the name of the guy who wrote that, but no. Juliet said that because she was upset. She was upset because the Montagues and the Capulets couldn't get along, and it was keeping their romance on the down low. It was keeping it, it couldn't do what they wanted to do, all because of a name. So she said, what's in a name? And we understand the application of that for her, but as we'll see, there's quite a bit in a name. There's quite a bit in a name. A name is simply a word or set of words by which a person, animal, place, or thing is known, addressed, or referred to. That's what a name is. A word or set of words by which a person, animal, place, or thing is known, addressed, or referred to. Names are given. We all were given a name at birth, most of us. Although I'm doing family history and I'm looking at some birth certificates where there was no name for the child. It was just a certificate. But names are given and they're chosen. That would be a designation. And so we have names because we need to be able to say, I am me, to distinguish one from another, right? But names are also made or earned. That's reputation. So where the name is given, it's about designation. But where the names are made and are earned, we're talking about reputation or character. Proverbs 22:1 is where this sermon would have started for me years ago. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But what's the abundance of the world running for? But the world's running for riches. But the wisdom of Scripture says that it's a good name. Now listen, in the Hebrew, good is not there. It was inserted for our benefit. But where the Hebrew actually reads is a name is chosen, is better than riches. Because it's implied that to have a name, excuse me, would be a good name. And so you don't get to choose your name at birth, but you do get to determine what your name will mean over a lifetime. Let me say that again. You don't get to choose your name at birth. Anybody here choose their name at birth? No. But you do get to determine what your name will mean over a lifetime. One points to designation. The other points to either reputation or character. Now, Matthew Henry's commentary says about this particular scripture. It says a name, that is a good name, a name for good things with God and good people, is rather to be chosen than great, great riches. That is, we should be more careful to do that by which we may get and keep a good name than that by which we may raise and increase a great estate. Let me read that again. He says we should be more careful to do that by which we may get and keep a good name than by that which we may raise and increase a great estate. Let me just drop a name that's in the current news that is a picture of this or the antithesis of this. Robert craft. Now, if you've been watching the news, I don't have to say anything else. Great riches, billionaire, but living whose character, based upon what has recently been done, whose character is now in the gutter. And where one was highly thought of, now is help that child, is now is in the gutter. And we see this going on in not only in our nation, but it's been going on as long as man's been around, right? And so he goes on to say, great riches bring great cares with them, expose men to danger, and add no value to a man. A fool and a knave may have great riches, but a good name makes a man easy and safe, supposes a man wise and honest, redounds to the glory of God. And that to me is why I'm reading this, redounds to the glory of God and gives a man a greater opportunity of doing good. And so for me, this message started way back in 2013, because when the Lord starts doing something in your life, it doesn't happen in a day. He's teaching you things over your life. And 2013, I went and got a guy's rug. He lives up on the third floor. I had to walk up 3 flights of stairs. No problem. I do that. It's a part of work. Grabbed the rug, threw it on my shoulder, took it to my shop, cleaned it, had dog craziness on it, got it out, took it back, and delivered it. And this guy jumps on Yelp, and he puts up this review. He says, yo, there's this dude named Pat. He grabbed my rug, took it down 3 flights, brought it up, da-da-da-da. Next thing I know, a Russian model from Northwest D.C. gets on Yelp, calls me. I go to her place, clean her spot. She says, we're talking. She says, I read a guy named Craig on Yelp. I know that guy. I was like, you do? She's like, yeah, I know him. I was like, okay. Well, she got on Yelp and threw up a review. And it just began to go on and on and on. And after a while, I began to, I can be kind of slow. I don't know about you, but I began to add 2 + 2 and came up with 4. I said, I think the Lord's trying to do something here. He's trying to show me something. Because what began to happen is my name began to be dropped. And the name began to be consistent with a certain amount of quality. And all of a sudden, I began to see and understand what this scripture, Proverbs 22:1, where it says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know what? Here's the beauty of that scripture. If you have a good name, the reason why it's better than great riches is that a good name will procure for you great riches. You don't have to necessarily go out and get it. It will come to you. See, that's what the scripture's saying. And so I began to experience that because I stopped advertising. This guy on YouTube, there's a guy on YouTube for all you guys who ever fixed the car. You went on YouTube, find out how to fix something. His name is Scotty Kilmer. I don't know if he's a Christian, but I do know this. He's a millionaire now. And he said, I never advertised a day in my life. He said, because I fix cars and I do a good job and people tell other people. And that's just how all kinds of people come to me. And he's been doing it for years. And I found that, what is it? It's his name. Everybody, if you ever got on YouTube and looked for to fix a car, you know who Scotty Kilmer is, okay? You've run across his videos. Well, so now when I go to people's houses who found me on Yelp, when I open up the door, they say, are you Pat? And I said, yes, I'm Pat. They say, do you know what people are saying about you? This is a normal occurrence. Do you know what people are saying about you? Not my words. Proverbs 22:1 says, or Proverbs 27:2 says that let not your own words praise you, right? So it's not my words, it's their words. But they say, do you know what people are saying about you? And I kind of like, and I can't lie because I get on Yelp, people send me reviews and so forth. I say, yeah. And they say, well, that's why we called you. And then most of the people, after they tell me what to do, they'll pay me and leave the house, say, lock up when you leave. And they do that because of what people have said about the name on Yelp. So I'm finding this very interesting. So those experiences are the genesis of this message, because it began happening so much that I began to understand that character. Listen, even though the world is chasing money, what it wants is character. Hello? Listen. The world's chasing money, but when you go to have your car repaired, you know what you want? You want character. You want quality. My wife took her car. Something happened to her car and the brakes, and she took it to a place, and they came and they said, well, you need pads and rotors. You need your rotors replaced. The car ain't even 7 years old. Is it 7 years old? It's not even seven. Just 7 years old. I'm thinking rotors replaced. So I pulled the brakes off yesterday and looked at the rotors. Don't need to be replaced. I said, the rotors don't need to be replaced. So I got down to business and started doing some work. And let me tell you how powerful a name is. I hit a snag, and I couldn't get this caliper to do what I needed it to do, because I'd never seen a caliper like this before. And you know the first name popped in my mind was Carl. You say, I'm going to tell you the power of a name. Say, what's in the name? I'll tell you what's in the name. Deliverance is in the name. That's we're going to get to his name later. I'm talking about the Lord. We're going to get to his name. But I'll tell you what. I made one phone call, and I said, yo, Carl, this thing ain't working with me. He said, well, this is a different type. Do this. And it was exactly what I needed. But it was a name that popped in my mind. When people think of your name, what do they think about? What pops into their mind? All right. So when people trust your character, they feel good about conferring value upon you. This is what I found. Referred customers routinely. I can open up my business file and show you what, you know, we talk about it in franchisees and when we have meetings and all this. Referred customers routinely spend more money up front than coupon customers. You hear what I said? I said referred customers routinely spend more money than coupon customers. Why? Why is that? Well, because a referred customer has had someone they know tell them about you. And when they tell their friend, hey, this guy came over, did me an excellent job. He, you know, he was well worth the money that I spent for. He was thorough. He was on and on and on. Then a person, when they call, they've already had an expectation. They've already had someone vouch for you. So when they call, so I have people who are referred. When they call, they're having everything clean. I'm like, hold on. Not the coupon people. You know, the coupon folks. Now, there's nothing wrong with using the coupon. And we've all used a coupon before. Come on, you use it because you want a good price. But which would you rather have, a good price or good quality? Because you get what you pay for. Hello? I said, you get what you pay for. So typically, coupon customers are looking for a deal. They're looking for a price. I'd never heard this before, but the other day our condo, we're going to rent it again, and we're in between tenants. And a person messaged me on Yahoo. He sent me an email and said this. I was shocked, almost fell off my chair. Is the rent negotiable? And I kind of looked up and I said, well, Lord, what type of business is this? Do you go to your bank on your mortgage and say, hey, listen, I'm really not feeling this $2,000 a month. Less, how about $500? Can we go with that? I told her, I don't even know if I responded to the, because the number of people, someone just asked me that yesterday. The first one, I said, no, it's firm. And then I prayed, Lord, then please don't have them message me back, because come on now, what do you want for a negotiable rent price? Yeah, I thought about that. I thought about, yeah, it's negotiable, and it just went up. It just went up, okay? So with that said, let me say some things. Let me look at some things or share some things that the Bible says about your name. My name, your name. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Genesis chapter 12, whenever you hear Genesis 12, that's the story of Abraham, where God comes to Abraham and says, leave your country, leave your family's house, go to a place I'll tell you. But in verse 2, he says this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Okay, we read it again. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, the Bible says in Galatians and other letters of Paul that you and I are children of Abraham. Right? Okay. And that means that at least some of this, what God said to Abraham, applies to us. Okay. Particularly, well, when you ask anybody if they want to be blessed, well, I'm a child of Abraham. I want the blessing of Abraham. Well, yes, indeed, we do. And we have it. And it's not stuff. Okay. It's Jesus. Hello. But he also says this. He says, I'm going to make your name great. I believe that applies to you and I, too. I believe it applies to us. Let me ask you this. Is Abraham's name great? Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. Abraham is the father, according to the Muslims, of the Islam, the religion of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. He's the father of three world religions, right? Now, is greatness associated with your name? Is greatness associated with your name? You say, well, that's an arrogant thing to be asking. No. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, remember when those who came to him said, we want to sit on your right hand and your left? And Jesus said that the Gentiles exercise authority over one, and those who are great exercise domination or rulership over others, but he said, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. You share another name that is synonymous with being a servant, that we know this person to have been great. Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa. Well, I believe God's trying to make you great. I believe he wants us to be great. You say, great, how? Is it the great he wants you to be number one in the world? Well, he could make you number one in the world. I mean, look where mommy is. And we know God did that. God did that. Okay? And he's done something with her name. Kweku told us last year, they went into a restaurant, meet some friends, and sat down and have a meal. And they ate the meal and everything. And when they went to pay, the maitre d' or the head of the manager walked over and said, oh, no. This is on us. We are paying for you to eat, don't you? Why? Because it's mommy Biney. Okay? It's mommy Biney. And so God's doing something with her name. Now, that's not going to happen to me. And I'm cool with that. Right? Because I don't particularly want that. But listen, he's going to make you great in front of somebody. He's going to make you great with somebody. Okay? And so we're going to share in this promise to Abraham that I'm going to make your name great. Just happens with me that it's in front of people with a whole bunch of animals urinating and defecating and vomiting and all carrying on all over the carpet. Okay, that's it. Just happens that that's where they call me. So, oh yeah, he's great at getting it up, you know. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's gonna make us the next. I was just in a lady's house, $2-3 million house up in Great Falls. And these people running around looking for something, and I'm cleaning, and they're running all over. I'm like, what on earth are y'all looking for? I'm thinking to myself. And finally, the woman, the mother finds it. She's walking downstairs, and she walks past it. She says, holds up a book. She says, do you like Stephen Curry? And I was like, that what y'all looking for? I was like, yeah, I love it. Yeah, I'm a fan of Steph. And I was telling somebody at the house, when I looked at their son, I understood why. Their son is this boy. He's like, he could be 15 years old, but he's like this tall, a little wiry kid. And I thought to myself, You know, everyone can't be LeBron James because not everyone 6'8", 6'9", 250, 260 has this hulking frame. But there's a lot of little boys running around the nation who's small and wiry, and they look at Steph Curry and say, if he can do it, then I can do it. Therefore, his name has become synonymous with getting it done. I can do it. And so he gives people hope, right? So his name is out there. Tim Tebow's name is out there. You know, there's a lot of folks that have a name, and they have a name for a reason. So when you hear your name, what is the first thing? When people hear your name, what is the first thing they think about? Okay? What is the first thing? I know you want to be AT. It's coming. Athletic trainer. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let me look at in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, and verse 5, still with Abraham. And what we see here is God changing Abram's name. Scripture says in Genesis 17, 5, no longer, God said to Abraham, Abram, no longer shall your name be called Abram, which means exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. For I have made you a father of many nations. And so what do we see here? We see that when God cut covenant, when he established a covenant with the patriarchs, he changed their name. He changed their name, right? Now, and why did he change their name? He changed their name because their relationship going forward with God would forever change their destiny. He changed their name because their relationship with has forever changed their destiny. So Abraham was no longer exalted father, but he was going to become the father of many nations, because not only did the Jews become a nation, but the Ishmaelites became nations and the Edomites became nations. And it goes on and on and on. His father of many nations, Abraham was. So that's going to apply to us in the end. We'll see in the end how God changes the name. A very interesting, I'll mention this one passage of scripture just in passing. Remember when David sinned against God and he slept with Bathsheba, killed her husband, and he had a child. And God passed judgment on that child. And God told him through Nathan, he said, the child that you've given, that she's birthed, is going to die. And so God immediately passed judgment on David and Bathsheba, his wife now. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, this is how it reads. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. This is after the child was slain. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son. So while she was grieving about the loss of a son, David goes in. And she conceives, and she brings forth a son and called his name Solomon, which means peaceful. Peaceful. Because they needed peace after what they had just gone through, right? Now, here's what the scripture says. Now, the Lord loved him. Speaking of Solomon. The Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. He, the Lord, sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he, Nathan, called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. In other words, the Lord didn't change Solomon's name, but he called him by a different name, which revealed the grace of God to David, which was loved by God. The first child, David, I slew him because of your sin. But the second one, I love him. Okay, I embrace him. And so Solomon would go on to become the king of Israel behind David, his father. God showing the grace of God toward even those who had sinned and fallen, that God's grace was available to them again. That's very, very important, especially in these days that we're living in. Amen. Let me move on. Genesis 17, 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. shall be her name. So God changed Sarah's name. Why? Because she was no longer just a princess, but she was going to be the mother of a multitude. Mother of a multitude. You say, what's in a name? God's showing us what's in a name. Okay, and it's going to show us even more so. In Genesis 17:19, it goes on and says, then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. So here we have God meeting Abram and changing his name to Abraham. God meeting Sarai, changing her name to Sarah. He didn't have to change Isaac's name, because here we just read where God says, your wife shall have a son and you shall call his name Isaac. So Isaac, God determines Isaac's name. Every patriarch in the New Testament with whom God cut a covenant, he determined their name. He does that with all people he cuts covenant with. You say, where is it for us? We're going to get to that in the end. Because he changes our name, which we said last week, the reason why he changed Jacob's name was because Jacob's name was tied to his character. When God changed Jacob's name, he changed his character. All right. And so that's the next account in Genesis 32 and 27. Scripture says, and so this is Jacob wrestling with God, wrestling with the angel at the break of day. And the angel, when he saw that he could not prevail against against Jacob, because Jacob wouldn't let him go, he said to him, let me go, for the day breaks. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And as I said last week, remember, Jacob was already walking in the blessing of his father Isaac. You say, how so? He left Isaac's house when Esau wanted to kill him, remember, 20 some years ago. He goes to Laban's house, marries Leah, Rachel, and their wives and their servants, and he has, at this point, he has 11 children, 12 children, because 11 children. Yeah, Benjamin was last. And so he's got 11 children. He has flocks, herds, camels. He's got men servants, maid servants. He has all this. So he's already blessed physically. Okay? But here he is wrestling with an angel, and he says, I won't let you go until you bless me. And I have suspicions that he was not talking about physical blessings. Jacob wanted something else. He said, I got Esau's blessing. I stole his blessing. But Jacob, he's talking with an angel. Amen. You fight with men to get physical stuff, but he was fighting with an angel to get something spiritual. Right. Come on. Or to get something that would affect his character or his nature. And so the angel says, let me go. And he says, I won't let you go until you bless me. And the angel said to him, what is your name? What is your name? It's interesting that when Jacob asked for a blessing, the angel tied the blessing to his name. And so when Juliet said, what's in a name? Oh, hello. There's a whole lot in a name. I was on a website last night looking up the name of everyone here, what your name means. But in short order, I found out it was futile, because we don't live in Old Testament days, right? We choose names like Blue Ivy and North and Apple, and you'd be like, what? Who? We choose names for different reasons these days, right? Where in biblical times, the names were tied to what they thought the character of the child would be, right? And so Jacob had the name Heel Grabber, because when Esau was delivered, them being twins, remember, two nations are in your womb, when Esau came out, Jacob, from within the womb, reached out and grabbed his heel. He said, hold on, buddy, you not first, I'm first. So he had the name Heel Grabber. A supplanter, a thief. So the angel said, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And remember that in him saying Jacob, back in Genesis 27, when his father said, "Are you really my son? Are you really my son Esau?" And then before that, he said, when Isaac asked him, he said, "How did you find it so fast, my son?" He said, "The Lord brought it to me." So he was lying in all this time. He says, "Come, father, and eat of the game that your son Esau has made for you." So he lied about who he was. The angel made him confess the truth. He says, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And the angel said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel." Israel means prince. Prince. He says, "Your name shall be called Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked, saying, this is a whole nother sermon right here, but Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name. Tell me your name, I pray." Woo, boy. That's going to be a, listen, I don't know if you've seen the video on YouTube, it's worth seeing, where someone takes and they go through the Bible and it's set to some beautiful music and they're declaring every name of the Lord. It is powerful. It is absolutely powerful. And so Jacob says, "Tell me your name." And he says, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So Peniel means face of God. And so Jacob gets changed. His name gets changed, but also his nature gets changed. In order for Jacob to be blessed, he had to acknowledge who he really was. Okay, so we looked at that, and we see that from that time, Jacob never deceived anyone again. Hello? Now, he tried to appease Esau with all the gifts that he was sending him because he thought, remember, Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. And Jacob prayed to the Lord, said, "Lord, I am scared of my brother. He gonna kill me. Please help me." So he sent all these gifts. He tried to appease him, but never in Jacob's life again did he deceive anyone. Okay. Now, his sons did. His sons deceived people and killed a whole town. That's because they raped their sister. And those boys were Simeon and Levi. They were some hot-headed fellas. Anyhow, moving on. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 9, we're still talking about God making your name great because he changes the name, he changes the nature, and he makes, according to the scripture, Abraham said, "I'm going to make your name great," but he also said it to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9, "And I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth." God told David, "I have made you a great name." So as he did with Abraham, God did with David, and I'm persuaded he is doing with every one of his children in the church. Why? Because our name is tied to his name. Why does he want to make our, why is he going to make Abraham's name great and David's name great? Well, we know David's name is great because we got David and Goliath. Everyone pretty much has heard the story of David and Goliath. He's made his name great, right? But it's because our name is to be tied to his name. I mean, when we talk about Tim Tebow today, everyone knows. I mean, Tim Tebow, well, he was a football player, and now he's in the minor leagues, and he was called up by the Mets and all this. But some people may know that. But what they know ultimately about him, most people know, is that he's a Christian, and he would wear scriptures underneath his eyes. And so the name of Christ is associated with his name, right? Same thing with Steph Curry. Same thing with some of these other athletes around the league, and we pray much for them because they bring the name of Christ, and we pray much for mommy because we know that everything that's coming at the world, you know, when you get any type as an athlete, that what's that I mentioned it before, that one, I think it's Sports Illustrated, where if you're a famous athlete, they want you to take all of your clothes off and pose, you know, you either running or you're doing something, and they come to you with that foolishness. And you got to stand against it. And that's just one. There's a whole bunch of worldliness, ungodliness out there that you have to face when you get a name. And so God has to prepare us for that. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, David is praying and talking to the Lord. And he says, therefore, you are great, O Lord God. 2 Samuel 7:22. For there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name? God went, what other nation is there on earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name? What was God doing with Israel? He's making for himself a name. Okay, Israel rejected Christ. Okay, so for a moment they've been blinded, not permanently but temporarily, so that the Gentiles might be brought in. So who's bearing the name of Christ now in the earth? It's not the nation of Israel. It's the nation of the Church of Jesus Christ. The church is the only nation where everyone in the nation is a Christian, and I'm not talking about the physical church. Hello. There's only one Christian nation, and it's not America. I'm sorry to make that clear. The only Christian nation is the church, of the true church of Jesus Christ, where everyone is born again. Psalm 48. Right? So your name and my name are all about his name. Your name and my name are all about his name as his people. This is why he wants to make your name great, as he said to Abraham, as he said to David. I believe God wants to make your name great. You say, to what extent? I don't know. But it will be determined by how we live our lives. Remember, we're not talking about the designation. We're talking about character and the reputation that our name would gather. Jesus said in John 12:28, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. That's what God was doing through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a mission. He was on a mission to glorify his Father who is in heaven. How did he do that? By coming and dying on the cross and being raised again. You and I now are on a mission. What's the mission? This is the mission, should you choose to accept it. The mission is for us to glorify Jesus Christ. That's the mission. To glorify Jesus Christ through this life that he's given us. And that life is tied to our name. That's why it's so detrimental to the witness of the church and the gospel when a pastor falls, when a child of God falls, when we say one thing but we live another. And we're exposed. That's why, as I said last week, what the Catholic Church is going through is a horrible thing. Not only for them, but for the Church of God worldwide. Why? Because people make no distinctions. We may make distinctions between Protestants and Catholics, but people don't make distinctions. They're y'all church folk. And y'all all hypocrites. And y'all all doing the same thing. That's why it's so important that the life that we live is a godly life. The scripture says, let him who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let him who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's what the scripture teaches. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, therefore, we always pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Paul was praying for the Thessalonians that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in those people. Listen, this is a prayer I pray every day. Oh, God, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. When we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise to your name. But not only praise and divine worship be to your name, but help my life to be a life of worship to you. Come on. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. That our lives would be a living sacrifice, bringing praise to God, a sweet aroma of obedience to his word, right? As we live in his name. This is why Paul says in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Come on. Whatever you do in word or deed, can I cheat on my taxes in the name of Jesus? No, you can't do that. No. Can I drive 100 in a 25 zone? No. And no, I can't. If I'm gonna do all in the name of Jesus, I thought to myself, oh Lord, please help us just keep this, just keep the one commandment. We would go a long way. Right? If we just keep one. Whatever you do in word, David said in Psalm 141 and 2, Lord, put a watch over my mouth. Set a watch over my mouth. Right? So that my words and my deeds would be done in the name of Jesus Christ and bring glory to your name. Now then, let me jump all the way to the book of Revelation, because there's too many. This sermon could go on and on and on, and I'd never be able to end it. I was sharing with the church on Tuesday evening this passage of scripture, Revelation chapter 2 and 17. Jesus is speaking to a church that I think is the church of Thyatira. And he's, excuse me. Revelation 2:17, he says, he's telling them to repent, or he will come and fight with them with the sword of his mouth. Verse 17 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. The hidden manna was the manna that the Lord told the children of Israel to take and lay it up before the ark of the covenant, and it would be divinely preserved. It was hidden from where no one could see it, but it was preserved in the ark. Remember, the manna, if you didn't eat it till the next, if you kept it till the next day, it would breed worms. But this was the hidden manna, the manna that was preserved of God, which speaks of Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus says, I am the true bread which came down from heaven, right? It was always in the presence of God. So he says, I will give to him some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give to him a white stone, and on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Let me read that again. He says, I will give to him a stone, and on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Now, I showed you where with the patriarchs, God changed their name. Here, God is given to every one of his children a new name. Now, here's the beautiful part about it. He's given them a name. He's given them a revelation about himself that no one knows except them. Oh, Jesus. I thought to myself, oh, Lord. And we started out with what's in a name. Let me tell you, there's a lot in a name. There's a lot in a name. Because he's going to give you this. I imagine when you get your stone, I imagine when I get my stone, I'm going to be running around. You know, I'll be jumping up and down. I'm going to be like a little boy on Christmas. Can't even compare. But I'm going to be like a little child just running around. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, thank you. Why? Because the name, remember, is about designation, and it's about reputation or character, right? So it's about, he's revealing himself through his name, okay? Now, in Revelation chapter 3, next chapter, in verse 12, Jesus says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. So God is not only going to give us a stone with a new name on it, but he's then going to declare over us or write upon us. I thought about how in these herds, they brand the sheep, or they'll brand the animal that belongs to them. The owner does it. No one else does it. The owner puts his mark on them. Amen. That's held up over and against the mark of the beast. Remember, the people would take the mark. But here, after all that's done with, God says, no, here's the real mark. I'm going to put my name. I'm going to write my name on them. See? How does he do that? God said in the Old Testament to the children of Israel, he says, wherever my temple is established, he said, there my name will dwell. Here it's saying, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And so not only do we find the believer in the temple of God, but also at the same time, the temple of God, because we are now the dwelling place of God. And there he would cause his name to dwell. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name, I love this, he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Whew. Let me say it again. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Come on, church. In other words, we're going to know him, but you're not going to know everything. Come on. Because we just read in Psalm 45, the scripture says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unknowable. It's unsearchable. You can't. He's so vast that you can't know him fully. And so it coincides with this passage of scripture where it says he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Hello? Amen. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Okay? So, last verse of scripture, Revelation 22 and 4, simply says this: they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. His name shall be on their foreheads. So what's in a name? What's in a name? For us, it's the realization that we are his. It's the realization that we are his. That's what's in a name. And for that, we thank God for the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for calling us into your Son. And Father, we thank you that you are doing something great in our lives today. Lord, that by causing our name to become great, you are establishing and causing your name to become great. And Father, we pray to that end, Lord, that all that we do in word and in deed, we would do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help it to be so. Help, Lord, our lives to magnify and to glorify your great name every day from here on forward, Lord, both now and forevermore, we ask in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.